Good morning.
That's a fun song, man.
I tell you, I'll be honest with you, though. I could never do the oh-oh-oh parts, because that's hard to do, man. I don't know how you do it. It doesn't seem easy. Every day I sit there and marvel at you guys and what you guys do. We actually had Paul taped during that solo. That really wasn't him, so. No, I'm kidding. Come on. You know I'm joking around. It's great to be with you guys today. As always, it's a privilege to be able to share with you guys on Sunday mornings. And today is especially special, you can say that, because we are beginning 4 weeks of Christmas messages, which is wonderful. So Merry Christmas. It's a perfect day because it's December 2nd and it's raining outside. And I don't know about you, but the rain fires me up. And I wish it would rain every single day. But obviously, you probably don't hold that same excitement, huh? It'd be hard to get things done. But, it's a great time of year. And I love Christmas. I enjoy the houses being decorated, opening presents, seeing my family. It's a lot of fun. But I know that some of you guys probably don't hold the same excitement as I do when it comes to Christmas. And my goal this morning is not to tell you why I think you should be excited. Really, my goal this morning is to teach about the Bible. Fancy that, huh? Being at church, we're going to teach about the Bible. And that's what I would like to do this morning. And we're going to be covering a passage from the book of Mark. So whether you love Christmas or loathe it, there's one thing that we can find in common, and that is the cornerstone. And that cornerstone is Jesus Christ. So whether you're excited about Christmas, don't be worried, because we were teaching about the Word this morning. We were teaching about Jesus, so be excited for that, okay? Right now, we're going to look at Mark chapter 10, but I'm going to have Madison come on up. So Madison, why don't you come up here? And really, this is kind of the Christmas from the Kellys morning, and you'll be seeing some of my family throughout the morning. I'll have to make a phone call during the end of the message so Aim and the kids can come in, so... Hi, Madison. How you doing?
Good.
Are you excited about this? So excited. Madison's going to read from Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16, and I'm going to turn this mic on. And we are actually reading from the New Living Translation this morning, so you can follow on the screen or type it up in your device. Are you ready to go?
Mm-hmm.
All right, go ahead.
One day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with the disciples. He said to them, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter." Then he took the children in his arms and placed his hands on their heads and blessed them.
Thank you, Madison. Appreciate it. You can grab a seat or go check your mom. Thanks. Let me pray for us and we'll get going. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the privilege and the blessing of being able to look at your word each week. And I thank you that I get to have my family involved in this message a little bit this morning. But I also thank you for the family that's here in this room, and that's the body of Christ. And Lord, I pray that we'd be encouraged. I pray that we'd be challenged. And understand that today is the day, just as tomorrow will be the day, it's a day where we can impact people for your sake and for eternity's sake. So God, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts this morning. I pray that through these four verses, we will learn more about who you are and how you love us. Pray this in Jesus' name, amen. These four verses in the middle of Mark's gospel are pretty great. And if you're not careful, you can read right past them as you're looking for something else, perhaps to catch your attention. But I've done it many times, just reading over the story as if it's just a story. But about 3 months ago, God caught my attention. The Holy Spirit grabbed my attention as I was reading this short little passage. And I think it's great for this time of year. And I'll explain a little bit why I believe it to be great. But it's not an incredibly weighty introduction as you see it. It says, one day... some parents brought their children to Jesus to bless them. How many short stories do you read that start with one day? Well, this was not just one day. This was one extraordinary day. This was one monumental opportunity for parents to bring their children, or as Luke chapter 18 puts, infants to Jesus in order for them to be blessed. They were bringing their little ones to Jesus, or God in the flesh, in hopes that he might bless them. I don't think they realized yet the magnitude of what Jesus had come to do, but they recognized that he was a great man, and they wanted their children to be blessed by him. At first read, that may seem odd to you. Why would someone bring their child to a man to have him blessed? Well, as I just mentioned, they realized there was something different about Jesus. They hadn't yet realized that he was God in the flesh and what he came to do, but they realized that he was different, not an ordinary person. As you'll study, you'll find out that it was customary for Jewish people to bring their family or their children to great men. Not a custom that we share these days, is it? We cling tight to our children, as we should. And anything that's kind of out of the ordinary, we kind of try to shield our parent, our children from that. And that's unfortunate because of the carnality of people and the sin that so invades our world. But it was customary for Jewish people to do this. But these parents had a deep desire for their children to hear, be blessed by Jesus, to receive a special gift. So it wasn't just one day for these parents. They looked at this as a monumental day to have their child blessed by this Jesus. And as I was reading it, I started thinking, Lord, do I have a deep desire to bring my child to Jesus? And I ask you parents the same question, or grandparents the same question. Do you have a deep desire for your child to know Jesus Christ? To hear about how he came to this earth to die for their sins. Do you have that deep desire? I'm sure many of you here would be, absolutely, Ben, I have that desire. I think it's interesting to note that in this passage, it says some parents brought their children to Jesus. Are you of the some? Do you have a desire to share with your kids what Jesus has done? It's kind of a convicting question and one that I think about often in my own life. Parenting is difficult, okay? Mom's in the service, so mom, way to go. I can't believe you actually raised me and three other kids. Parenting is difficult, so if you guys already have your kids out of the house, way to go. Way to go. I can't wait to be a grandparent. I tell people that already. It'd be great to have my kids go home at night, but they don't. They stay in my house. Parenting is difficult, and so I salute you guys who have done it and have done an extraordinary job. But I believe we need to have a deep desire to share with our children about what Jesus has done. And that's a difficult thing. Some days I come home and I'm driving in my truck and I say, God, when I get home, I'm going to tell my children everything they need to know. I'm going to tell them about the covenants that God established in the Old Testament, how the Old Testament and the New Testament fit together, about how you're coming back. And then I get home and Sam and Madison are fighting, and at that point I no longer want to tell them about the word at all. I just want to spank them and send them to bed. It's only 5:30. It's difficult. It's difficult to do those things. But we must be of the some who have a deep desire to bring our children to Jesus. Anyways, let's go on. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. They scolded the parents for bringing their little ones to Jesus. What are you doing? They may have said. Don't you know that the master is busy? At first, you may have had a similar reaction as I did when I read this. Man, those disciples, a bunch of ding-dongs. You know, it's for the children. Come on. I used to view the disciples as a group of gangly guys who would just follow Jesus, and you'd have that music going on where they're following Jesus, and they, instead of resembling disciples, they more resembled a child or children trying to follow their parents through Toys R Us. And then suddenly when Jesus would get their attention, they would respond hastily or with little thought, as I do to Aim when we're watching the Giants game and she asked me a question in the seventh inning. But they're not. The more I read of them and listen to their words, I realize that they may have had great intentions. Even in this situation, they may have had great intentions. Something that in their mind may have been commendable. But in reality, it showed a lack of spiritual sensitivity. And that is why Jesus responded with indignation or anger. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. He said, "Let the children come to me." And it brings up the second point that I'd like us to think about, especially in this time of year, because we're around family. And anytime you're around family, you have the opportunity for tension to rise. And we need to be more than just great intentions. We need to have spiritual sensitivity. And when I say spiritual sensitivity, I don't mean just passive and a wallflower type person. I just mean you're purposeful in your living. You're looking for God to use you to impact this world. And many times you read in the Bible, in the Gospels, and the disciples lacked that spiritual sensitivity. It may have been a great thought that they had. We're going to protect Jesus because he's got a long road ahead of him. He's already said that he's going to Jerusalem, and he's resolute about his decision. And so we want to protect him and make sure he's cared for. And we do the same things at times with our children or with our loved ones or even with our free time. And we lack the spiritual sensitivity that God may want to use you at that time. We need to be sensitive to the needs of others and to what God is prompting us to do. I was reminded of this again this week. Well, I already dealt with parenting, so I guess I can deal with the marriage thing. Marriage is difficult, okay? And I realize again that some of the things I think of are commendable in my own mind, and what I'm trying to do or to say to Amy may be commendable, but I'm not being sensitive at times to what she is needing at that moment, okay? Now, ladies, don't get all fired up and say, "Preach on, brother," okay? Because it goes both ways. But I was reminded that I need to be spiritually sensitive to the needs of my wife as well. So, anyways, that's more for the second service. She'll be in here, I guess, you know. So, kidding around, joking. Now to the rest of the passage, all right? Mark chapter 10, verses 14 to 16. "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." And I try to picture these times, and as you read commentaries, it's not clear exactly the setting or the location or what was going on around them, except there was people and children there. He took the children in his arms and placed his hands on their heads, and he blessed them. Isn't that cool, listening to the rain at the same time? So why do I bring this passage up during the Christmas season? Well, I believe it's because we need to be more like our children, or children in general. And please hear me out on this one, okay? Jesus says, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. Think with me, if you would, about the evolution of a child receiving gifts. First, as an infant, how do they receive gifts? They kind of just sit there or basically just lie there, you know, unable to control anything, noises, bodily functions. Their head, it's like an orange on a noodle, basically, scares me. Every time we do baby dedications up here, I'm like, you hold the babies, and then I'll do the rest of them, okay? But they can only receive gifts. They can only receive them. They rely completely on the care of their parents. Completely. Unable to say thank you. Unable to assist you. They're unable to understand why you are caring for them at that moment. That is how we are to receive the kingdom of God or His grace. There are never enough thank yous that you can say in response to it, to adequately express our gratitude. Nothing we can do to assist in the process of salvation. We simply accept it. And even though we may understand certain parts of it as we grow spiritually, we will not completely grasp it until we are standing with Him in eternity. As a toddler or child, how do they receive gifts? They never just sit there, do they? They hover above the ground a little bit, kind of like a hummingbird or something, and they're anticipating the gifts, whether it's their birthday or Christmas, whether it's one or 100 gifts, and there's a strange feeling in the air, and they're just looking. I don't know if you guys remember Mike Singletary, the linebacker for the Chicago Bears with his huge eyes, you know, and he looked as waiting before the snap. This is kind of how our kids are, waiting to open the presents. They want to receive as many gifts as possible, and they want to open them as fast as they can. They don't care if they have too many. Matter of fact, they don't even care if they have more than their siblings. Rather, they'd have it. They'd like to have it that way. That's how kids are. That's how we are. And they also don't feel bad about not getting you a gift either. In a way, I believe this is how we still need to view the gift of salvation or God's grace. God has given us so much, and we revel in the immensity of His graciousness. We need not feel bad about never being able to repay Him for the gift of grace in our life. We simply accept it. And out of love received, we make it our goal to please Him. Not out of our love, but out of the love received from Him. Then as a teenager, they try to sit there. They try to act a little bit cool. You know, I'm so excited to open my gifts. You know how teenagers are. And they say they only want one or they don't really need anything. But in reality, they want tons of gifts. But they usually sit out for that one gift, right? That's how they work. And then you have adults and the way that they receive gifts. And actually, I need to call Aim. She's working in the nursery, the toddler thing right now. So I need to call her because she's going to come in a few moments. Do you guys mind if I make a phone call? This is unorthodox, isn't it? But I need to let her know because she's going to come in and help me out with this part. Because as an adult, the way we receive gifts is quite different than all these other things. Pick up. This is how it goes during the week, you know. I'm going to call Aim and ask her. Hey, we're ready for you, okay? Everyone's on pins and needles. Okay, bye. Okay. But as an adult, it's different how we receive them. A little while back, my family gave me a gift. And I, like many adults, was reluctant to receive it. You know why? Because it wasn't Father's Day. It wasn't Christmas. It wasn't my birthday. And so I was like, what did I do to receive a gift? What on earth could possibly have taken place? So I decided to bring a gift like the one that I got. And so it's right here. Does anybody want to help me open it, or should I just open it? Okay, I'll just open it. Here was the gift that they gave me. Ah! It was Samuel was the gift that I got. Good job.
That was good.
All right, can you stand up here for me? Babe, come on up. Unfortunately, you did good. As adults, we're reluctant to receive gifts at times. And when it comes to receiving the gift of salvation, we need to receive it as a child does, readily and undeservedly. As parents, we start thinking, you know what? What have I done to receive something? Why should I deserve a gift? You know what? God loves you so much. Out of His great love, He has decided to give you grace. What an amazing thing. Madison, what do you want for Christmas this year? You don't know? Well, that settles it. We don't have to get anything for our kid, okay? You guys were here to listen. Oh, surprise. Okay. All right. Sam, what do you want for Christmas? You want a robot? Okay. A dog and a robot. Great. Okay. These are just ideas, okay? So don't hold me to these things. All right? All right. Babe, what do you want for Christmas?
I already have you.
Oh, come on. Yeah. I already tried to butter you up, okay, before you were even in here, okay? So you can't say something else nice like that. What are you holding out for, Aim?
Really?
We're not saying this too, so you can give us gifts. That's not why this, I'm just asking to get us into the Christmas spirit. Good.
No.
That's not why I bring it up, okay? I don't know what you're holding out for this Christmas, but let me share with you right now. The greatest gift that anybody can receive is salvation, is God's grace. It truly is. Let me communicate again. God loved us so much that He created us. He created us so that we could be with Him and experience His love. Unfortunately, though, we chose to love ourselves, which leads to sin. But you know what? God's love trumps ours. He loved us so much that He gave His Son Jesus to live on this earth, to live a perfect life, to die for our sins, to be buried in a tomb, and then to raise 3 days later. And believe in Him, in Jesus Christ, gives us the ability to have a relationship with God again and to receive His love. And out of love received, we have the opportunity to live for Him. What an amazing thing that God gives us. Romans 5:6, it's going to be on here. says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. We ended this morning with our worship time by singing Today is the Day. And I think it was interesting, I was sharing with Pastor Bill. I started at the beginning of my message saying it wasn't just one day for those parents that brought their children to Jesus to have them blessed. It was one special, extraordinary day. So much so, it's recorded in the Bible in three different Gospels. Today is not just one day. Pastor Bill says all the time, no one is here by mistake, but by design. Today is one special day, and perhaps you may need to receive God's gift of salvation. Whether it be for the first time, or whether it be reminded of what he has done for you, there is nothing you can do to repay it. Simply, you just must receive it. Isn't that amazing? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for each person here. Thank you for this family that's standing next to me, and for the family that's in this entire room. I pray that as we go out this Christmas season, we would be reminded daily of the gift of your grace. And out of that love received, God, we would honor you. I thank you for your word and how you use it to impact our life. God, I thank you that you had this day in mind long before we did. God, if there are those in this room who may not know you, but would like to place their trust in you, God, I pray, God, that you would continue to move in their hearts. For those, God, who may be struggling with many things in their life, God, meet their needs. Be God as only you can be. Watch over us today, God, as we're traveling about in the weather. Watch over those who are on their way here as well. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for being with us today, you guys. Make sure to give someone a hug on your way out. Say hi to those in the service, and we'll continue on. If you could, try not to let the secret out of the bag here, okay? Because the next service, we've got to do it again. So don't tell anybody. Sam jumps out of it, okay? Otherwise, we'll hunt you down. All right. Have a good one. Bye.